This is the day which the Lord has made. We will.
That was powerful, and this group really led it over here, so thank you guys. Jan's over there hoop and holler. All right. I love doing that because it is weekly a reminder that this is the day which the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. That doesn't mean that all is well in our life. That means that we can rejoice in Him being with us. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 20. And today's message is called The Faithful Servant. And as you're turning there, I want to read a scripture out of Psalm 100. And Psalm 100 says, "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." Let us pray. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His word, and may the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in Thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. We are the sheep of His pasture. Man, that's an important thing for us to remember. And I want to tell a little story, if you'll just bear with me today. And the story actually is the Bible story. And we've got many characters. And when we talk about this, the story of the faithful servant, we've got characters in our story today. The main character in the story is us. Why? Because we love for it to be about us. So the main character in the story is going to be us. All of us. We want things about us. And in Matthew chapter 20, when we talk about the characters in the story, Matthew 20, verse 20, and it says, "Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons, kneeling down and asking something for him, something from him. And he said to her, 'What do you wish?' And she said to him, 'Grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand and the other on the left, in your kingdom.' But Jesus answered and said, 'You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?' Of course, what did they respond? They answered and said to him, 'We are able.'" In reality, they had no idea what he was talking about. That's my thought. It's not in the Bible, but they didn't know what he was talking about. "So he said to them, 'You will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared by my Father.'" Enter in the next character in the story. And the next character, if you pay attention, most stories or movies will have these themes or plots. And the next character is really a guide that kind of helps you go through the story. And the guide is the person that really is going to maybe come up with a plan and help them get there. And that is, of course, Jesus. So Jesus comes in, and I know you're thinking to yourself, the main character should be Jesus. Perfect. You got that clue. He should be. But in reality, we love for it to be about us. So we're the main character, generally speaking, in our own stories, in our own lives that we live, right? Okay, it is for me. So we're trying to transition and put Jesus as the main character. But in this story, He's the guide. He's helping us. He's helping us get to that point. He gives us a plan and says, "This is where I want you to go." Now look in verse 25. In verse 24 says, "And when the 10 heard it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers." No kidding. I mean, that's like, when he told the dream to his 12 brothers and said, "One day you're all going to bow down to me, Joseph." And they said, "Oh, I don't think so. Forget this. Let's go get rid of our brother." Well, now here's the other disciples. They're thinking, "What in the world? Did you hear what the mother did?" Now, we don't know if that frustration is because she beat them to the punch, saying, "Hey, can we sit on your right and left side? or they're frustrated with her. But it says, when the 10 heard it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers. But Jesus called them to himself, and here's what Jesus said. You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. So verse 26, he's given us the plan, and we've got to listen carefully to what the plan is, because it's kind of short. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, what must he do? Let him be your servant. And I'm sure they're looking around going, what? And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. What? To be first, I've got to do what? To be great, I've got to do what? Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Now, in just a little bit, don't look at your watch already, but in a little bit, we're going to act this out. It'll be brief, it'll be quick, so I'll need a couple actors in a little bit, and I'll call on you, find some good actors or actresses. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And what else? And to give his life a ransom for many. That means he's given his life as a ransom for you. And he's given his life as a ransom for you. But not just them. Great news. You too. He's given his life as a ransom for you. To serve and give his life a ransom for 10, 12. No, for many. Many people. Jesus says to the disciples, the world operates this way, but if you want to belong to me, you've got to operate this way. So in comes the guide with the plan. The plan is, the world operates this way, but our plan's got to be different. In order for us to go forward, our plan has to be different. Young people going to Falls Creek. Young people not going to Falls Creek. Old people not going anywhere. I don't know, whatever. Everybody. The world says, and I say this mostly to our young people, but our world says, be like me. My Lord, for the most part, I listened to K-Love Radio and Air One in my car. I went for years that every station in my vehicle was programmed to that, and the kids weren't allowed to change it. Little by little, they could change it every now and then if I was in the mood. But for the most part, that's what I listened to. And recently, I've been changing stations. I've never heard Tom Petty played so much in all my life as I have when I changed stations. Like, oh my gosh, I haven't heard from him in years. But every station I'm changing, there's a Tom Petty song on, or there's this song, and everything is repetitive. And I thought, man, kids are singing songs, adults are singing songs, but man, we come to church and it's, I'll be doggone if I can remember the songs or the words to any songs we sing. So the world operates this way, be like me, and we're going to hammer it into your heads every day. So Jesus says, hey, if you want to not be like me, but belong to me, you do have to be like me. But it's different than the world does it. And he gives us that example and says, if you want to do it, we'll do this. And in verse 28, he justifies it and says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. There's his example. He justifies that at the Last Supper, as we experienced a couple weeks ago, just a few days before Easter, when he washed the disciples' feet in John 13. And he came to wash their feet in humility. And what did he do when he did it? He told us why and gave us the example. For I've given you an example. Hey guys, I just washed your feet. That's your example. That you should do as I have done to you. Guys, I've done this to you. Now go out and do it to others. When you come together, examine yourselves at the Lord's table. Serving in humility. Galatians 5 tells us, through love, serve one another. Turn, keep your finger there in Matthew. We'll come back to that. But turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. And it's down near the end of the Bible. It's a little bit before Revelation. If you get to Philippians, you're almost, Galatians and Philippians, you're almost there. So Colossians chapter 3. And we're going to verse 23 and 24. And in Colossians 3, it tells us about the character of the new man. We've talked about that. It says, when you come to Christ, you have the character of a new man. And you are to put on the new man. But in Colossians 3, verse 23 and 24, it says, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. So our action is when we serve one another, he says, you've got to serve one another to be a part of me. And the action part of that is when you do it as though unto the Lord and not to men. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Now, I didn't have this in my notes, but I'm going to read it anyway. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. So do it right. Do it as though unto the Lord. Why? What's in it for me? We always want to know, what's in it for me? That you will receive the reward of the inheritance. He promises us a reward for our actions. When we have the character of the new man, we should act like that, right? But not just act, because acting sounds kind of fake. But we should also serve. As though we have the character of the new man. James tells us be doers of the word, not just hearers. Don't just hear this stuff and then go home and not do anything. Be doers of the word. Serve one another. Serve one another in love and through love. Okay, so where we are in Colossians 3, turn a page or two, depending on your Bible. We're going to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And we're going to verse 2 through 4, and it says, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father, knowing, beloved brethren, that your election by God, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit. I like that. So when we serve, when we do these things, first of all, when you serve one another, they give thanks. But listen to what it says. We remember you without ceasing for your work of faith. Now, what does that mean? Your work of faith. Does that just mean I believe? No, it says your love for Christ will result in you serving. Your love for Christ, your faith there, will result in you serving one another. And then people give thanks. Now the reward, it's an earthly reward and worldly reward, but we all love when people say, hey, thank you for that. By the way, take a moment to thank people in your life and through your life. Thank them. Those few seconds that it takes to tell them thank you for whatever, what a blessing. In a couple of weeks, we're going to recognize graduates or graduate, whatever it is. And I was talking to Kisha yesterday and I said, I've been praying about you. Why? Because I give thanks to our teachers. Our teachers have such a powerful position to change the lives of our kids in their classroom. And I'm thankful for our teachers. Take a moment to thank them. Students. All right, three of them looked over here. Students, take a moment to thank your teachers. National Teacher Week was last week. How many teachers did you thank? Someone forgot to tell you it was National Teacher Week. Just tell them, happy late National Teacher Week. But to give thanks to God for these people that served. Now turn back to Matthew. We're going to Matthew 25, actually. And we're near the end, so hang on. We're getting to the end of this little story. Remember the story, the main characters were us because we love it to be about us. In comes the guy, Jesus. He's got a plan that he's going to help us out of there if we just listen to his plan. And that you got to do things differently. You've got to serve. Not be served. You've got to serve. And in Matthew chapter 25, it talks about the parable of the talents. But I want us to focus on verse 21. When it comes down to the faithful servant, the good servant. And in verse 21, it says, His Lord said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant, for you were faithful over a few things, and I will make you ruler over many things. But listen to what it says right after that also. Enter into the joy of your Lord. When we serve, we can enter into the joy of the Lord. When we do that in a faithful way of serving. Wow. When you accept the challenge and want to serve Him, this is what happens. Now, let's just go down a few verses. When you don't accept that challenge, verse 26, But his Lord answered and said to the other guy, You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed, so you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. And it says, For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Now listen to verse 30. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Literally, there will be hell to pay. My Lord, I'm going back to verse 21. Well done, good and faithful servant. So we need to put this together real quick. I need a couple volunteers. I don't know if I want young or old. I'm going to grab my wife. She's always an easy volunteer. I'll get her up here. So Cindy, Annie, you're close by, close to an exit aisle seat. Would you come up here? And we'll have these two act this out. Come on up here, up here. Yeah, we're not doing this down here. It's up here. Guys, I'm a liar, actually, and I apologize, but all this was to get Anna up here. Look, I brought a clean tissue for you. Okay. Oh, good Lord. Here, I brought one for you too, honey. Okay, give me this. So this is Anna's last week with our worship team here at Prayer of Faith. That is rough for us on the team. But we want to recognize her. And knowing that she was going to be leaving us, I've been hanging on to this faithful servant message till she said it's time. And so I've had this. But this message is, it's about you. It's about you and your faithful service. Now, Donna, has she been here since birth or shortly thereafter? Since birth. My Lord, that's a long time, guys. Okay. Intentionally, during our practice this morning, I didn't really acknowledge that. I was just trying not to draw attention to it, just so we could surprise you a little bit, and I hope we did a little bit. But Anna has served in such an amazing way to this church body. She served during VBS when her mother and sisters were doing these things, and she came in and she did that. She played, she participated, and when I say she played, she wasn't playing games necessarily, although she was. I mean, played the piano, whatever she did music with them. And she served in so many ways. And I'll never forget, we got this keyboard many, many years ago, and Donna said, "Do you think Anna could just play with that a little bit?" My Lord, she's a piano player? Yeah, absolutely. Thank goodness for that. And then Anna stepped in and led our worship. She led worship over at Ground Zero. She's been here for many years. So we just have a certificate of appreciation for your leadership, for your servanthood that we want to give you, Anna. And then we have some small gifts, a small token of our appreciation. Cards in there, some little, lots of coffee drinking things in there. But the faithful servant. Listen, I know there's many of you out there, at times you say, "I don't want to serve anymore. I'm mad. I don't want to serve anymore. I'm tired." And I don't know if you've been mad, but I know you've been tired. And I know that there's times Hannah said, "I think it's time for me to step down or to go away or whatever." And Anna stayed here. And she stayed here. And when Pastor Jack left, Anna gave me a book. And she said, "I hope this helps you in your new role." And I took that book and I read it. And it was helping church leaders. And so not only did you serve, but you helped me grow. And I'm so thankful and grateful for that. Anna's going to get married soon in 2 months from tomorrow, correct? July 8th. So coming quickly. So she's got a lot going on. She'll be in and out. She'll be gone for a couple weeks. She'll be back here in service a couple times. But as far as our worship service, this is her last Sunday for that. Church, would you just appreciate Anna? Thank you. I was thrown off. I looked at my notes. I said, "Anna," and I thought, did I say has a baby? Anna since a baby has been here. So that was my question in there. Again, she's helped out at Ground Zero, Falls Creek, here at Prayer of Faith, Vacation Bible School, in so many wonderful ways. And her mother, you know, we're so thankful for you sharing that with us and allowing us to be a part of her life and her to be a part of our life. I'm going to ask anyway, are there any words, anything you want to say, or will that be disastrous? Okay. Yes? Okay, hang on. Wait, you do want to say something? Okay. Whoops. There you go.
I don't have a lot because I'm a little emotional. I can't tell. I don't want to talk about me, but find a place where you can serve, where people will not let you go. My church, my home, has been my stability my entire life. As Adam said, even when I didn't want to be here, when I was an angsty teenager, I wore my studded belt and my black clothes, people were still friendly to me. I don't know why, I was weird. But find a place in your church home. Find your pocket, your corner, your niche, and people will not let you go. And that's what this has been for me. Even when I was ready, thought I was ready, I was not released because these people would not let me go. So find that, whether it's Sunday school, mowing the lawn, cleaning the toilets, it's all service, it's all kingdom work. And just thank you to just thank you to everyone who has been near me in this church, whether I know you well or I don't know you well, I've known you for a long time, or we're just new friends. Thank you for shaping me into who I am. I don't know where I'm going. Once I get married, we don't know where we're going church-wise, and that's going to be scary, but I'm so thankful for the foundation that I have and for my mother, who is the biggest fighter I know, for fighting to keep me in church.
Amen.
Waking me up every Sunday morning because I did not like to be up early. So wake your kids up and get them here and find the place where they will not let you go. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Anna Clark, well done, good and faithful servant. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful and thankful today for your servants, for all your servants. Lord, we ask that you take just the small words today, the story, if you will, making it about us, and help us to replace those characters with godly characters. Those that say, I don't want it to be about me anymore, I want it to be about you. As Anna mentioned today, Lord, that whatever it is, however we serve you, that it is all kingdom work. The rewards are the same for the inheritance, whether it's being paid to serve or not being paid to serve. The inheritance that you promise us is there for all those that serve faithfully. Lord, help us as we go out this week, guide our steps. For your word says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and we want to use that lamp to guide us in where we go and what we do. Allow us to be light and salt to those we come in contact with, Lord. Help to guide our words, our tongue, Lord, as we open our mouth and speak to those we know and don't know. Lord, that we don't speak out of anger, but we speak out of love, even when it's correction, even when it's frustration, Lord, that we can express ourselves in a loving manner, in a way that glorifies you. And let us continually seek ways to glorify you through our service to one another. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.